The Magnifier, issue number 109, October through December 2017. New findings put eggs back on the menu. Many people avoid eating egg yolks due to concerns related to the impact of serum cholesterol. Serum cholesterol has been associated with heart disease, resulting in many adults becoming increasingly careful about their cholesterol intake. However, according to research published by Dr. Hu, Harvard University, consuming one egg per day was not found to have any substantial overall impact on the risk of coronary heart disease or stroke among healthy men and women. So your one or two eggs per day could be entirely benign, cholesterol-wise. Yolk has protein, iron, phosphorus, zinc, folate, selenium, and choline. If you skip the yolk, you're also missing out on vitamin D, A, lutein, zeaxanthin, which contribute to good eye health. A letter from Liz. From Liz Trownick, president of the Macular Degeneration Foundation. Thank you. We wish to take this opportunity to thank all who have and continue to support our efforts to serve the low vision community over the past 36 years. With generous online donations and contributions from family trusts, the Macular Degeneration Foundation is accomplishing three important goals. One, identify and advance promising medical research, for which we are proud to work with prestigious organizations such as the Moran Eye Research Center in Salt Lake City, Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Harvard University in Boston, the Detroit Institute of Ophthalmology in Detroit, and many other smaller community organizations throughout the United States. Two, serve the practical needs of individuals learning to cope with the limitations of macular degeneration and other forms of low vision. And three, keep everyone, including physicians, researchers, and patients, up to date with the latest news, medical advances, treatments, and supportive technologies by offering personal telephone support, two websites, namely eyesight.org and macularnews.org, and a free quarterly newsletter available both electronically and in printed form. If you would like to make a secure online donation, please use the donation link on this website. If you desire to include the Macular Degeneration Foundation in your estate planning, please contact me directly at Liz, L-I-Z, at eyesight.org or by telephone at the number 888-633-3937 for assistance. Again, thank you. Here's a question by Dan Roberts, the foundation's resource director. He asks, can retinal degenerative diseases cause headaches? And answers in this way. Retinal diseases are not in themselves painful. Prolonged ultra-close viewing, however, is often practiced by people with visual impairment. That can cause headaches of the type reported by some members of our low vision community. Generally referred to as eye strain, such discomfort may be caused by stress on the large medial rectus muscles that control the side-to-side movement of our eyeballs. When those muscles are relaxed, both eyes gazing straight ahead into the distance, something that doesn't work when trying to clearly view a near object or text. As an object draws near, our eyes gradually converge to keep us from experiencing diplopia, which is a fancy word for double vision. The closer the object, the more our eyes converge until they either cross or simply give up when the object gets within about 5 inches of our nose. Test this by holding up your index finger and trying to stay focused on it as you move it toward your face. The medial rectus muscles are attached to the exterior sides of the eyeballs. If those muscles are strained, we can acquire a headache as a warning that we're overdoing it. The most obvious solution is to avoid the necessity of ultra-close viewing by maximizing lighting and by magnifying or enlarging the task at hand. A visually impaired person, though, sometimes needs to use ultra-close viewing under less than optimum conditions. So what other accommodations can help to avoid the discomfort? Number one, use corrective lenses adjusted to your best focal distance for any specific task. Close one eye to eliminate the need for convergence. Three, strive for the best balance between focus and convergence. And four, keep the task in the center of your gaze, allowing your eyes' exterior muscles to relax. By way of explanation, focusing is done by each eyeball individually using its own internal muscles and does not involve the exterior muscles. Convergence, on the other hand, requires the exterior muscles, and a headache can occur when they are overworked. The best distance is a point at which the least convergence is required and the best focus is achieved. To help avoid a headache, maximize the distance between your eyes and the task, even if you have to sacrifice a little focus. Headaches seem to be most common in early disease states in which both eyes are still retain some functional vision. If that describes you and you are experiencing headaches, consider the above suggestions. At the same time, think about your posture and your head position, both of which can cause pain if improper. If these suggestions do not offer relief, consult your general physician. You should not have to live with discomfort that might be easily alleviated. Here are some stem cell trial results from Israel. Results from two new clinical trials have added support for the use of human embryonic stem cells as treatment for the dry form of macular degeneration. Stem cells injected into the eye appear to have replaced the missing cells damaged by the disease, with no serious side effects. One study suggests it may have even improved patients' vision. Researchers from Hadassah Hebrew University Medical Center in Jerusalem conducted studies designed to test the safety of the procedure in human subjects. They injected a suspension of either 50,000 or 200,000 retinal pigment epithelial, that's RPE cells, derived from human embryonic stem cells, underneath the patient's retina. The surgical procedure was well tolerated. Within a few weeks, they could see signs that the retina was healing at the injection site, and images of the back of the eye suggest the possibility that the transplanted RPE cells survived. An additional trial site for this stem cell treatment is expected to open soon in the United States. A second research group from Bascom Palmer Eye Institute in Miami has conducted two studies using RPE cells derived from human embryonic stem cells to treat patients with dry AMD, as well as patients with a different form of retinal degeneration called Stargardt disease. Like dry AMD, there is no treatment available for this blinding disease. Stem cells implanted in these patients survived for up to 3 years, and there were no side effects. Some of these patients even gained vision. New subretinal implant for dry AMD entering trials. Pixium Vision, attempting to restore vision electronically by means of bionic implants, has received French authorization to begin a feasibility study in human patients designed to evaluate the tolerance and efficacy of their PRIMA system among patients who have lost their sight due to advanced dry AMD. In parallel, Pixium Vision is talking with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to prepare a feasibility study with PRIMA in the United States. Incidence of AMD dramatically declining. After looking at follow-up data on 4,819 participants in their offspring and their offspring in the Beaver Dam studies that were conducted between 1987 and 2013, Karen Quickshanks, Ph.D., and all at the University of Wisconsin-Madison found that the incidence of AMD has been decreasing by a relative 60% for each of the current and past successive two generations. This suggests that aging baby boomers, people born between 1946 and 1964, may experience better retinal health longer than did the two previous generations. The improvement may be attributed to better environmental conditions, sanitation, nutrition, and approaches to disease prevention, but more research is needed to determine cause and effect relationships and to confirm these findings in other ethnic and racial populations. How to face the future with low vision successfully. The fear of going blind often brings about depression and an abnormal amount of stress. Counseling and direction from professionals can help the patient feel more in control and help eliminate this vicious cycle. A referral to a low vision specialist is very important because the transition to low vision is necessary. When a patient learns how to use the remainder vision and is trained on how a low vision device, all of a sudden they feel more in control. A referral to a local support group is also important. Talking with folks that share respective fears and have found ways to compensate for low vision can make a world of difference. Worrying about going blind brings about depression, frustration, and anger. This negativity is the beginning of a downward spiral. Please don't let that happen tomorrow. Repeating, please don't let what might happen tomorrow rob you of the joy of today. Saying positive words each day creates more opportunities for happiness. The brain has a wonderful way of taking these positive words and making them work with our treatments to reduce risk. If you are looking for a low vision specialist or a support group, please contact our resource consultant, Dan Roberts, at this telephone number, 888-866-6148. 888-866-6148. A tele-support group opportunity is also available. That completes the Magnifier, issue number 109, October through December 2017.